Hi, this is Carrie Cassidy broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. And basically, we are going to be live as much as possible on Justin TV as well. So anyway, I am waiting for my guest, Rich Dolan, who is absolutely a stellar scholar, I think you might call him, and he is considered the world's leading expert on UFOs, I think, and the national security state. So we're going to have a wonderful discussion. He is also an expert on secrecy and rule by secrecy, as you can imagine. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that as well. And in the meanwhile, of course, everyone's aware of the WikiLeaks situation. I've got a number of articles on my blog and also under a new category on my website called Articles for those of you that would like to read what my latest points of view are and also get caught up on some of the stuff that's going on with Project Camelot in general. We're going to be having a conference with David Wilcock, Richard Hoagland, Bill Ryan, and myself on Sunday, the 19th. That's this Sunday. It's going to be live on video. We're hoping to do live stream. Hopefully that will work. And we're getting some help by the company Livestream to sort of set that up and make sure everything works properly. We're also going to be able to stream it via audio for those of you that don't have great video connections. And let me see what else. Other than that, the whole case in regard to WikiLeaks is of special interest to Project Camelot, as you might imagine, simply because we are on the cutting edge. And if they ever acknowledge that our information is true or even has the possibility of being true, then our whistleblowing website would be sort of number one in the crosshairs. And that's something to keep in mind for the future. Unfortunately, people like Joe Lieberman are making life very uncomfortable for people like us who consider free speech to be one of the rights as an American. And I will have a lot of fun talking to Rich Dolan about that and his take on what's really going on. We are really in the throes of disclosure, and that's not just disclosure about the ET presence, and I want people to realize that. What it is all about is disclosure on all levels of society and revealing the truth about the Matrix on all the different aspects. And so that's absolutely something to keep in mind. You are the disclosure. You can make the disclosure happen by revealing the truth as much as you are able to. And if you are able to broadcast or do anything like that, simply because, for example, Justin TV is just like so easy and free. And, you know, you can broadcast all over the world and just talk to the world. So I encourage everyone to speak out at this time. This is a grassroots revolution, and we'll be right back with Rich Dolan. And this is Carrie from Project Camelot.
What makes AMSOIL motorcycle oils so good? Customers say they can actually feel the heat reduction. Shifting becomes smooth and clutches last longer. Throttle response improves, while more power goes to the wheels. AMSOIL Advanced Motorcycle Oils last twice the manufacturer's interval and are guaranteed. When you order through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 100% of the proceeds go to the network. Try this. Click on the AMSOIL link, look up the motorcycle oils, then download the motorcycle oil white paper to see how the competition compares. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants and filters are the most advanced products on the market today. American Freedom Radio wants you to experience how AMSOIL saves you money on fuel, saves you time on maintenance, and extends the life of your bike. But performance is what keeps customers coming back. Dare to compare. Enter AMSOIL's site by clicking the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
Practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like smelling like
radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis. Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are on the air, I believe, with Rich Dolan. Rich, are you with me?
I am, Carrie. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Nice to be on. Thanks for having me here.
Well, you sound better than you did earlier.
Oh, man, I had for about 4 days the worst sore throat. I just wasn't myself. And yesterday I was doing Lou Rawls, sometimes Barry White. But then I talked to you earlier today, and I was still kind of down there. In the last 2 hours, my voice it's recovered mostly. It's still not quite there, but good enough.
Okay, well, it's probably because you got to be on American Freedom Radio, and when I reminded you, you just kicked into gear.
The radio deities are smiling on me.
Absolutely. So you are the preeminent UFO researcher and really an expert on UFOs in the national security state. That's not just the title of your book. It's also something of your expertise, wouldn't you say?
Well, thanks. It's something that I focus on. I've spent the last 15 plus years of my life really immersed in the issue of UFOs and really all elements of that mystery, but certainly I've worked a lot with trying to understand it from a national security perspective and trying to look for evidence showing or proving that UFOs are kind of an important topic for the intelligence and military communities of the world, especially the U.S.
Okay, that's something of an understatement, kind of an important topic.
Yeah, I love, exactly.
I know that you've sort of learned the art of diplomacy on your long road to the top here, so I'll forgive you that, but I have to say that I think we're in fairly dire straits in this regard. So I'm very interested to hear your take on the current situation, not only with disclosure, and I know you've written this other new book, which is called AD After Disclosure.
Right.
And I'm happy to have you talk about that book as well, and give your website for people that aren't familiar with your work, and maybe give yourself a brief introduction while we're at it, because I
sure.
think people would be interested.
Yeah, that might be helpful. I'm a historian by training. Long before I was interested in UFOs, I was applying the very conventional standard academic history. Fair. I was working on a PhD in Cold War studies, primarily, although previous to that I did a lot of Soviet and German history as well, but I moved off into U.S. diplomacy, national security, international studies, and so on by the early 90s, and then I fell into the UFO topic. I became obsessed with it, not even interested. I would say obsessed is the right word, and the reason was simply that it occurred to me that there was good reason to think that there was a reality here to the UFO phenomenon, and reason to think that military and the intelligence community was interested in this. And from my point of view, I'd been studying this all along, and of course the UFO topic is absent in all official academic and scholarly work. And I had a very logical question, which was, well, if it's true, as it appears to be, that there are some pretty good documents showing that there was a lot of interest in UFOs back in the 40s and 50s and beyond, then the simple question is, why had I never read about it in any of the scholarly works that I had been studying? I mean, even if UFOs were a mistake, you would think that it would be of interest to academic historians. I mean, hell, how could that not be interesting? Go back to 1950, and if there's 3 4-star generals genuinely interested in UFOs, well, God, I mean, what dimension of reality is that not interesting? So I just wanted to find out for myself. Initially, it was just a personal question. Were these important big shots interested in UFOs or not? It turns out they were. Of course they were. And so then that just led me down the rabbit hole, and that was 15, 16 years ago, and I haven't left. So I ended up writing 2 volumes of history so far, volumes 1 and 2 of UFOs and the National Security State, and that covers really the modern era from the early 40s and when it's done to the present day. And it's really my attempt to provide as scholarly a treatment of the UFO phenomenon as I can do. That means going through government documents and the scholarly journals and professional journals, interviewing people and just doing the whole route to put together what I think is a responsible history, something that is a reliable guide to students interested in this topic. And right now, at the end of Volume 2, that's taken me up to 1991, the end of the Cold War. So there's quite a lot there, and I was very happily working on Volume 3 when I started a series of conversations with a gentleman named Bryce Zabel. And Bryce, among many other things, is a TV producer, and one of the things he's best known for is that he created and produced the TV show Dark Skies back in the late 1990s. We had a series of conversations. It ended up that we decided we were going to do a joint project. And this joint project was on something that was very close to my heart and his, and that was the idea of disclosure and trying to envision how the world might look in the event that the secrecy on the UFO topic were to end. Many of us who've studied this, of course, have envisioned a world in which the secrecy on UFOs is over. But once we started really going into this book, we realized there hadn't been an awful lot written about how that world might might be. And so really what we try to do is write a book that reads well, that's for the beginner and the experienced person alike, that describes, A, why disclosure is, in fact, inevitable, even though it seems impossible, and how the short-term and longer-term repercussions might turn out. And that turned out to be AD After Disclosure, and that's a brand-new book. It came out at the end of October. And I have to say it was an absolute joy to write this book, both in terms of the content and in terms of my co-author, who is just a wonderful, utterly professional guy to deal with. And that's essentially what I do. I write lots of articles, as many as I'm able to, and speak at conferences and do my own private investigations pretty much all the time.
Absolutely. And you were also, at least temporarily, I think, a star on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, we all have our moment of fame. Well, I've got a couple of TV possibilities in the works now, but back in 2006, I was host of a brief series called Sci-Fi Investigates. It was right before UFO Hunters, and really, in my view, we were a kind of early version of UFO Hunters.
Yes.
We did some jaunts around the country. I did an episode where I studied voodoo. I did a voodoo dance holding a snake over my head at midnight with this wild voodoo priestess in New Orleans.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that one.
Well, yeah, it was one of my favorite moments, actually. I got into it. I was ready to sign up for voodoo at the end of my experience there. I met some very cool people. We did an episode on life after death where I floated in a sensory deprivation tank attempting to have an out-of-body experience. That was pretty cool. I came close, I felt, but I didn't have quite enough time. It's one of the problems of TV investigations is that they have the money and the budget to do really cool things, but they frequently don't have the time allotment to really do things the way you'd want them to. We did
no
a couple
doubt
of
about that.
Yeah, well, it's just the way it is. And we
but,
did. But
you were working with the ex. Did you say he was the producer of Dark Skies, or was he the writer?
Bryce Abel was the creator and producer of Dark Skies, and he also wrote a lot of the scripts. But it was his baby.
Wow, that's like a classic.
It was a great show. It ran for one full season, over 20 episodes. It was a full season on NBC. And
ahead of its time as well.
I'm going to tell you, I've recently revisited that show, and it has aged extremely well. It doesn't seem dated when I look at it. Bryce did a great job. It was like X-Files, but historical. Set in the 1960s, really, with the backdrop of the Kennedy assassination. And all through that, he did, I think, an exceptional job of trying to portray the inside of the UFO cover-up, really trying to look at the group that we might call the Majestic Organization, or MJ-12. And so, right off the bat, once I realized who he was, it was obvious to me that this was a guy who he had a creative imagination, because you have to if you're going to write for TV. But he also had a real integrity in the sense that he wanted to do this topic in a way that is true to the research as far as we know it.
Excellent. Well, I haven't read that book, but I would like to take a look at it and then write you my own critique.
By all means. By all means.
We have a long time relationship going way back where I used to write you very long emails in the early days.
We had an outstanding correspondence.
Yeah, a lot of fun and a lot of sort of different opinions about this and that and the other. So that would be kind of fun to kind of go back down that road.
Wow. Yeah.
But in the meantime, what I would like to find out, though, is what you're thinking about the WikiLeaks situation and also about, well, obviously the state of the planet at the moment.
Indeed. Well, WikiLeaks, I wrote my own article on this a little over a week ago. I've been very, very interested in following the plight of Julian Assange. In fact, Bryce and I wrote about WikiLeaks in AD, After Disclosure, and we were writing about this over the summer. One of the things that I am convinced, WikiLeaks has only been around since the end of 2006, And, you know, when you think about the, I don't think people are fully aware of the deep, profound impact that WikiLeaks has had on contemporary journalism, and in terms of the amount of information that we have gotten, strictly speaking, only because of the leaks that have gone into WikiLeaks. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
Only in the last year has the American public really even known about this, because it's only in the last year that Assange and his people have really been focusing on U.S. leaks. But prior to that, there were I just pulled out a list of some of the things right off the bat. A Somali assassination order that came right from the very top that they got out in 06, 07. Documents dealing with the corruption of Daniel Arap Moi of Kenya. Illegal banking activities concerning the Cayman Islands. Scientology came under their purview. They usually focus on government things, but they published a 600-plus page manual that Scientology says is very proprietary, dealing with the 8 different operating Satan levels as a secret for the Church of Scientology. Memberships of the far-right British National Party, which had been secret for many years. It's illegal for a British police officer to be a member of that organization. A whole bunch of other things. A Bilderberg group meetings from a variety of years, from the 1950s and 60s, were also leaked to WikiLeaks and then published, and much, much more. In the last year, they released, I think a lot of people still remember, the infamous Baghdad airstrike video, which came out last spring, which was just brutal, depicting, shootings by American soldiers on video of Iraqi civilians and 2 Reuters news staff. It is probable that the soldiers, just listening to their conversation, did think that these might be enemy combatants. But what's really disturbing, of course, is the banter that you hear among these soldiers. I mean, it's just really, there's no other way to come away from this other than feeling disgusted that these are American soldiers just shooting innocent, totally innocent men, women, and children in this video. That was leaked to WikiLeaks, and they put it out in April. That caused
right.
a huge ruckus in the media.
Well, that's actually, I don't know if you saw that there's a WikiLeaks documentary that's out at the moment. I don't know if you caught had a chance to look at that. It's linked on my blog in case you want to find it, and for the listeners as well. And I highly recommend it. It does go over a lot of what you're talking about, sort of the broad overview of WikiLeaks
Excellent.
As an organization yeah. and the things that they have been responsible for, and also the sort of trials and tribulations of what they've been going through as an organization, which is very interesting from the point of view of Camelot.
Well, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's quite relevant to what you're doing. One of the things they found out, of course, is the fact that the U.S. Intelligence community has been trying to destroy them.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and it's there's a fascinating blowback going on as well, where they're trying to turn him into an ex-CIA agent and all this kind of nonsense, or
absolutely,
a member of the Australian, But if people don't go to his personal blog, it's kind of a blog website. It's called I think it's called IQ.org. I have it on my website, on my blog, linked there. But he has a number of articles that are so clearly an active, philosophical, revolutionary at work.
Totally agree.
Which is wonderful to see. And for someone who's in our position, who is doing something very similar only with Above Black projects, and as a matter of fact, we are going to be releasing an area of our website where people can anonymously contribute to the Above Black information. Whether they'll do so or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to make that available shortly. In the past, we basically we do have some sources that we've never met, of course, and people can always submit
right.
what they want. But But this is basically, you know, a trend and an opening to where, in theory, if people could submit anonymously, then it would be great. Now, of course, Bradley Manning is a fascinating story, the guy who leaked a lot of this
stuff. Yeah, exactly, right.
And I assume you've done a bit of research in regard to who he is, because he was turned in by a fellow, by a hacker who he confided in. I guess you know that story, right?
I know a little bit about that. I certainly know Bradley Manning was a private who leaked, who is alleged and probably, I guess, leaked a great deal of this information to WikiLeaks, and that he's certainly in custody right now. And I'm sure his... Right. You know, the military tribunals are going to make his fate sealed. we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah.
But no, I know an awful lot of the backstory about him. So,
I wrote about it in my article on WikiLeaks and what's going on, simply because it turns out to be an interesting dynamic, what went on before the documents, before the video got to WikiLeaks itself. And this is where you have to sort of drill down and see where the powers that be might be messing with things, taking advantage, let's say, of some idealistic young. Camelot, go to break and be right back.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Online. The time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Freedom Files. Weekdays.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m.
Central.
On American Freedom Radio.
You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? But something is happening and you don't know what it is.
Something.
Do you?
I did. You, Mr. Jones. I love that song. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are on the air with Rich Dolan. Rich, are you still with me?
I am indeed, Carrie.
Awesome. Okay. So in terms of Bradley Manning and in terms of WikiLeaks, what was your what did you say in your article? And of course, people can go to your website and read that article. So you should
I didn't have a lot to say on Bradley Manning. I spoke about the fact that Julian Assange mentioned, somewhat in passing, that there are documents within the State Department diplomatic cables that were recently released that he said refer to UFOs. And I found that of great interest. So I would say probably the main thrust of what I wrote a little over a week ago relates to discussion on what the significance of that might be. Anyone who wants to look at it, they can just go to my website, which is keyholepublishing.com, just like looking through a keyhole, keyholepublishing.com, and there's easy link to all of that. I think it's significant. I mean, you know, there are a number of people who have said, well, that doesn't mean that, you know, hell of a lot. It could be that the UFO documents are of, minimal value. But it could be that they're not of minimal value. One thing that we do know is that through the history of our own Freedom of Information Act in the United States and other comparable laws in various other countries, that there are references to UFOs in national security, intelligence, and diplomatic cables. It does happen. In the U.S., the cache of Freedom of Information Act documents that we have show this very clearly. Some of them are quite extraordinary. I wouldn't say that any of them that we have by themselves are proof that UFOs are extraterrestrial or alien or something like that, but they are proof that there's a phenomenon that demands an explanation and that is being taken seriously. There's no question. And so I feel that there's a very reasonable chance that some of the UFO references that I hope will be released via WikiLeaks will be of a similar quality. And I say this because, look, I've spoken, and I know you have spoken as well, to many government or inside people, and we both know for a fact that at high levels within the power structure that the UFO ET phenomenon is taken very seriously. And so I would expect within classified communications that at a certain point we would bump into this as well in the document trail. It's important because in the U.S., the Freedom of Information Act has been very much, it's been weakened over the last decade significantly. In fact, during the late 1990s, under Clinton, we really to this day don't know exactly how this process started, but someone in the National Archives in the United States, in College Park, Maryland, started reclassifying documents that had previously been declassified. So that the crazy thing is, if you had, as a researcher, gotten some declassified documents in the earlier mid-90s, that by the end of that decade, even before George W. Bush became president, that it would have been illegal for you to take those documents out of your personal filing cabinet and publish them, because they, some of them would have been reclassified. It's crazy.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, but it did happen. And then, of course, that whole reclassification mania got, was given steroids under George W. Bush. And, you know, interestingly, under President Obama, one of the first things that he talked about was liberalizing FOIA, or Freedom of Information, but I have yet to see strong evidence that in fact, has been happening. So what we really have, you know, here we are in the age of Internet, the age of, in one sense, instant communication, instant information, but in fact, our best estimates tell us that more than 50% of all U.S. government documents are classified, which means that if you're doing research on the history of your own government, really, one way to look at it is that more than half of your government's history is classified, is secret.
Yeah.
And that's our situation. That's why WikiLeaks is so important.
Absolutely. And I think that people are glossing over the detail and then coming to conclusions about the releases also of what WikiLeaks is releasing, and then slanting it to make it appear that they have a vested interest in for example, what kind of releases they're making and so on.
Yeah, I hear this as well. And I think I agree with you that this is really not founded. It's an unfounded accusation, I think.
Well, it's too early for them to be making some kind of statement like that. And the other thing is that how can they, I mean, when you look at the volumes of material, it's, you know, I mean, that's a huge job to cross-collate that. And
take years.
Yeah.
Years. The
amazing.
State Department cables alone, that they estimate, are about 400,000 documents. Dear God, man. I mean, to go through that would take probably generations. I mean, for a proper archivist and historian and student to go through that, it's
well, and you're somebody who's used to dealing with documents and sort of government documents and things of that nature. So you yourself, in writing the books that you've written, with the intense detail and the footnotes and so on, I mean, you're familiar with how laborious that process is, right?
It is, absolutely. Yes, I am. It's laborious. It can be tedious. It can be boring. It takes a lot of dedication, and it's going to take many, many people to go through these. This is something that's going to take teams of researchers a long time. And that's just the State Department. You've got the Afghanistan documents that were released. That's nearly 100,000 of those.
Exactly.
There's just huge, huge amounts. We are just at the very beginning of understanding everything that's in there. And from what I don't think most of these have been, I think like 1 or 2% from what I'm understanding of the recent State Department documents have really seen the light of day so far. There's just too much to go through.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's going to be a very interesting story for someone who will take the time to actually add those things up and then turn them into a kind of a storyline.
Excellent.
In which people can then sort of extrapolate an overall series of themes, if you will. But
clearly, that's what is needed.
At this moment, and in fact, you'd probably be one of the people that are uniquely qualified, although I'm not sure you'd want to do it, to actually do that. I mean, it's a very unique job to do that kind of thing. And intelligence analysts, which is in essence what Bradley Manning was, which
right.
I think a lot of people don't realize or don't think about.
Yeah.
He wasn't just a private in the Army. He was an intelligence analyst. And for people that want to know more about that job and also learn something in the process, there's a television show that has been canceled called Rubicon, which I highly recommend. And, Rich, if you haven't seen it, it's available on Project Free TV, where you can watch TV shows that have been canceled and also ones that are current. And I mean, that is so much about this kind of story in which an intelligence analyst is being framed and is basically discovering information that he then makes him want to go against the organization that he's employed by.
Well, you know, I heard about the show. I didn't know it was canceled.
Yeah. Very sad, I have to say, because it's awesome. I mean, I'm a
wow.
huge... but all the episodes are available on, as I said, Project Free TV, and it's also linked on my blog. So given the situation that we're in at the moment, what are your thoughts in terms of, you know, because I know there was a whole big sort of rush in the early days of Obama's sort of administration to say that maybe he was the disclosure president and all
never
this
by
kind
me.
Of thing. Okay.
I never had that opinion ever. In fact, I was openly skeptical of that opinion. I stated it many times. But yes, you're right. Lots of folks, our colleagues, people that you and I both know, made this statement. Some of them claimed to have inside knowledge that he was going to do it. Now, I was interested in Obama for that reason, because of two things, actually three things. One was Hillary Clinton, one was Bill Richardson, and the other was John Podesta. In other words, these were three people who were close to Barack Obama in one way or another as he entered the White House, all of whom have known connections with the UFO cover-up and UFO phenomenon. Podesta,
right.
for example, his transition chief back in the days when he was chief of staff for Clinton, was openly sympathetic to UFOs and has made many public statements since then about the reality of this and the need to end secrecy. That's one thing. Bill Richardson, who initially was tapped for, I think, Secretary of the Interior, had to back out. But Richardson wrote a foreword to a book on Roswell. I've got it sitting on my shelf. And Richardson was lambasted by Chris Matthews on a TV interview, I think in 08, for his kind of pro-UFO attitude. I watched that. It was horrible to see Richardson get torn to pieces by savage Chris Matthews on this. But here was a guy who was interested. And then Hillary Clinton, who has never, ever spoken about UFOs, but we know for a fact, met with Lawrence Rockefeller during the 1990s at a time when Rockefeller was communicating with the Clinton White House with the possibility of trying to get a ET UFO study at the White House level going. So she knows about this. So all of those things made me wonder a little bit if Barack Obama was interested at all in this topic. But I never really thought that he would do it voluntarily. And it's been my position all these years that there will never be a voluntary disclosure of the UFO/ET reality. Just never. The guys and gals who have this secret have way too much to lose, as I see it. However, I do feel that disclosure nonetheless is inevitable, nonetheless. And the reason is because, you know what, the power people are not the only part of this equation. There are two other parts of this equation. One is these other beings, whoever, whatever they are. And then the other part of the equation is us. That is the people, our society, which is going through so much dramatic transformation over these past several generations, and we're just speeding up, not slowing down. It seems to me self-evident that we are moving technologically and maybe in terms of our own thought processes and consciousness to a point where in the next generation of humanity, I think it will be very, very hard to deny the reality of a non-human intelligence interacting with us here on planet Earth. And sometime between now and then is going to be a disclosure because it's going to be forced. And when the powers that be allow a disclosure event to occur, it will only be because they are attempting to maintain control over the spin of that truth. And so disclosure, as I argue, is not going to be the end of the game. That's the beginning of the new fight. The battlefield will still be the domain of truth in a post-disclosure
yeah,
world.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, and I think that's very astute. Lots of people talk about disclosure as if it's a cliff that you get to and then you fall off of, and then, you know, after that, it's all different.
Exactly.
I beg to differ. I actually, you know, I think that they've been spinning things for so long they can't help but keep their hand in no matter what happens.
It's not like the CIA has got to walk away, you know, fold up the table and leave once.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had a 70-year vested interest in this topic, so they're not going to walk away.
Well, actually, if you go by bloodlines, it's a lot further back than 70 years. We're talking about some controllers that are also, well, from my point of view, ET as well. So they have a vested interest in all sorts of things. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Rich Dolan. Thank you.
If you want the best in engine protection and need to go the extra miles between oil changes or worry about your car in the heat, you need AMSOIL, the original synthetic motor oil guaranteed for up to 25,000 miles or 1 year. If you're looking for a twice-a-year oil change, try our lower-cost XL Series 7,500-mile oil. See the whole line of automotive products and support American Freedom Radio at the same time. Just go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner. You'll be directed to the store. So for the best in fuel additives, gear oils, innovative greases, just about everything for the fleet, use only AMSOIL. And get there by visiting AmericanFreedomRadio.com and clicking on the link. It's made in America on the shores of Lake Superior in Superior, Wisconsin. Preserve your cars, save fuel, and help American Freedom Radio grow. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
If you own a jet ski and are tired of paying $40 to $50 for a gallon for two-cycle injector oil, it's time to switch to AMSOIL Interceptor. AMSOIL's Interceptor injector oil not only will save you money, the engine will run cleaner and cooler. The OEM oils lack in quality. Choose AMSOIL for all your applications, and you will feel the difference. Here's how to save money on your power sports products. Go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the AMSOIL banner. Once you're at the site, choose the preferred customer option and see the direct wholesaler price. AMSOIL will send American Freedom Radio a commission based on your order, and you beat the OEM's price. You deserve to have some fun this summer. Choose AMSOIL for all your equipment and enjoy more trouble-free service. AMSOIL is the leader in synthetic oil and filtration. Tell your friends about AMSOIL and AmericanFreedomRadio.com today.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are.
We are.
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we're on the air with Rich Dolan. Rich, this is a great conversation, I have to say, and it's lovely to be able to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in probably years.
It's been too long. Definitely too long.
we used to compare notes quite a bit, and I have to say that I, you know, what's interesting about this conversation is, unlike the past, I have no idea how you're going to answer me when I ask you a question, simply because it's been so long and you could have changed your mind or have a whole different point of view for all.
I do that. I do change my mind.
Okay. So at any rate, what I'd like to find out also is where your mind is going nowadays in terms of, for example, what you might write your next book about, aside from volume 3 of UFOs and the National Security State, which I assume you're going to work on.
Yeah, that's right.
Where is your mind going other than that?
Well, that's a great question. I have a lot of different things that I'm thinking about. I mean, on one level, it's hard for me to see myself permanently leaving the field of UFO or / ET research. It's just something that I enjoy focusing on. I don't really see myself leaving that. One thing that I'm actually going to be doing, in fact, I'm working on this now, even before I finish Volume 3 of my study, is to revisit Volume 1 of that study. And the only reason is that that book was something I finished almost a full 10 years ago. It's a book that I still am very, very pleased with in many ways, but it's also a book where I see a lot of editing and revision opportunities. There's been a lot of research in the last 10 years dealing with the early part of the UFO phenomenon. So what I think I'll probably want to do, I don't think this will take me that long, maybe 6 months or less, is to do a pretty good revision of Volume 1 and then be done with it forever, and then move on to the third volume of my history to take it to the present day. And by the way, most of the recent history that I'll be working on in Volume 3, I've got most of that already down and organized, so I think I should be able to write that efficiently. But I have a lot of other projects in mind. I want to do, once those three volumes of history are done, I'll probably take them. It'll be 1,700 pages, and I'd like to do a nice short condensed volume of history of all of that, which I think many of my readers tell me, gee, Rich, I really love your books, but gosh, they're long. So I think I'll do a nice short history of the whole thing in maybe 200 pages, 250 pages. I want to do a real treatment of the ancient UFO, ancient ET phenomenon, and really take this back, sort of do a prequel to my study. I'm fascinated, to be honest with you, by the long history of what appears to be human interaction with these intelligences. Like you, Carrie, I feel that this goes back a very, very long way. I haven't had much of an opportunity publicly to write about it, but I'm certainly very interested in it, and I'd like to try my hand at trying to grapple with it. Beyond that, I'm looking very, very much politically at the coming shape of our world, and I have a very strong feeling that I'll be doing writing, dealing with the underbelly of the power structure as it continues to evolve on planet Earth.
Well, when you talk about that, have you ever, I mean, are you going down the road of the Anunnaki, and are you familiar, I assume you are, with Sitchin's work?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I intended to do a treatment of that. You know, the thing about looking at the ancient UFO connection or the ancient ET connection, of course, is that Sitchin is one node to look at, but he's certainly not the only one. Here, I live in the city of Rochester, New York, and I'm very good friends with a lady who's a retired professor who's done her own study on Central Eurasian myths going back, at least as early as Sitchin, and has come to a very similar type of conclusion about the sky gods of that region. And in other words, there are other scholars who have done work on the ancient ET connections. And I'm very interested in exploring that. So what I'd like to do is to do a fairly comprehensive, hopefully responsible treatment of that, and to put together maybe the sum total of current research in that field as it is when I do it, so that people have again, what I think would be a reliable and an interesting and engaging guide to the issues of ancient ET interaction with humanity.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm very excited to hear that because, of course, Sitchin has his detractors out there, and they are actually many. And we have been contacted as well by someone who is in Malta and has done some investigations there, and apparently Malta is a real hotbed for early, actually having been possibly part of Atlantis and having still evidence of that. There.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and in case you want more on that note, I can always connect you with my connections there. And then there's, I don't know if you know Graham Hancock.
Yes, I do.
Okay, and I interviewed him recently, and he's a fascinating man.
Oh, absolutely.
And he has done tremendous work in some of this area.
Well, Graham's book, back in the 90s, Fingerprints of the Gods, was something that really turned my head around. It was one of those seminal books in my own life. I remember reading it thinking, wow, that book opened up new vistas in my own thinking, I must say. And although I haven't followed up professionally in terms of writing about the ancient mysteries, I'm certainly quite interested in that.
Yeah, absolutely, and so am I. I'm still learning and still reading his work. We're going to go to commercial. We'll be right back for the second hour with Rich Dolan, and we will take questions on the last half hour. Thank you.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results with your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
We need to remove the all out.
Engine control is good.
Fire.
Roger, copy.
3, 2, 1.
Engage.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.
Thank you.
Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're listening to Tina Turner talk about Beyond Thunderdome, which is a song that I dearly love. At any rate, Rich, are you there?
I am indeed, Carrie. And by the way, I'm a Tina Turner fan also.
Cool. I was just perusing your article on WikiLeaks during the break here, and I noticed that you you highlight this book called Blank Spots on the Map.
Yeah, I did. That's a book by Trevor Paglen.
Yeah, and actually it looks fascinating. Did you happen to read it?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a copy of it.
Awesome. And what did you think of it?
Well, look, it's a good book. All of these books by mainstream people are going to have their limits, and you know that book is no exception. But one thing that he did that I think was useful was simply, you know, his field was geology or geography, excuse me, and it was funny. He was surprised when he discovered that there were actually parts of the world that were off limits to scholars in terms of, you know, seeing what's there. I found myself smiling in amusement that he came to this realization that there was all this secrecy. But to his credit, he you know, looked into a lot of it. And really, I think what he tried to do is just to point out that there is a great deal of geography on this planet that is totally off limits, not just to the ordinary public, but to scholars as well.
Yes.
So it's quite useful in that regard, and it's a mainstream work. So, you know, you have to keep in mind that he's not playing the conspiracy circuit here. He's not going that direction. But nonetheless,
well,
the study was of very good value.
Okay. Well, nice to know anyway about his work. It may be useful down the road.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, I'm wondering what you feel about what is going on in terms of the you know, you've been talking about the national security state now for quite some time.
Yeah.
And you've been analyzing it from various aspects, and you've written several very important articles in that regard about secrecy and the role of secrecy and how we've had years and years piled upon years of secrecy, and that's actually what Julian Assange is also talking about.
That's exactly right. Absolutely.
He's talking about an over, that we're actually sort of straining under the weight of years of secrecy, and at this point, it's absolutely a desperate situation. The imbalance is so great between so-called consensus reality and what the Black Projects and people that live in that world are party to.
That's right. Well, we're at a key moment in human history. In fact, I mentioned in this article on WikiLeaks, I speak of a war, and it's one between freedom of information versus secrecy, and this is what we're seeing, and we're part of that. And this war includes the saga of WikiLeaks. You know, the situation is bleak when we see just how what we would call mainstream media.
We're going to break. Sorry, we'll be right back in 5 minutes.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Get free of harmful chemicals in your lawn, garden, or farm. Use the products proven to work and restore vigor to your important food crops. Increase hay yields as well as oils in seeds and grain. Check out AgGrand Natural Organic Fertilizers on our website, liquidorganicfertilizer.com. Learn how AgGrand's liquid organic fertilizers reduce costs while increasing yields. The products work great as a foliar feed and help offset problems caused by poor soil conditions. Call us at 1-800-579-0580 for more info. Converting to organic is fun and easy and is the best choice for your heirloom seeds. Take advantage of our liquid lime, sulfate of potash with kelp, liquid bone meal, and the menhaden fish 433 loaded with micronutrients. If you want better tomatoes, visit liquidorganicfertilizer.com. That is liquidorganicfertilizer.com for your garden, lawn, and farm.
Warning. Warning.
American.
Warning.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
American Freedom Radio
is habit forming.
Use the truth carefully.
Dark, funny, and mind-bending news. PSYOP Radio with Mac White and Smiles Lewis. Sundays at 7 to 9 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are on the air with Rich Dolan, and we have been rudely interrupted right in midstream. Rich, we're talking about the incredible weight of secrecy and how incredible the imbalance is that is pressing on upon us, and actually even more so on the powers that be at this time.
Well, that's right, Carrie. And I have, you know, amidst all of the darkness that we are living in regarding that, I really do believe that there is hope here. And I'm not thinking that this is blind optimism either. I think that there's real reason to think that the future can improve. And here's why I think so. I spoke earlier in our chat about the dramatic changes in our society, really driven by technology. It's easy for us to forget that, look, something as basic and fundamental to the world as the Internet has really only been with us for about 20 years, really one human generation, essentially. And even that, the Internet really didn't take its current form, I would say, until really the last decade, when everything sort of fell into place and we ended up with the web as we know it. We've had smartphones for about 5 years. We've had YouTube for about 5 years. We've had Facebook for, you know, with MySpace, like 3, 4, 5 years. All of these modes have revolutionized the way that we talk to each other as a world. And we can't assume that the world is going to stop in a 2010 holding pattern for the rest of our lives. So obviously, there's going to be a 2015 and a 2020 and a 2030, and we really want to ask ourselves, what technologies are going to be on the table that we have that will allow us as a society to communicate? There's going to be, on the other side, the power holders, of course, but the problem is that the technology that we're developing is so fluid that it's difficult for even the elite always to predict how the great unwashed, that is us, are going to be able to use the, you know, continuing developments in technology. So one of the things that I see is in terms of computing intelligence. People who think that the UFO topic is a little strange ought to look into the field of artificial intelligence. Very mainstream compared with what we do, and the AI experts almost as a rule agree that computers will meet and then exceed human intelligence within, you know, 20 to 40 years. In fact, one of the top guys at Intel just recently made BBC News by saying that this is going to happen. So in other words, our own world is radically changing. We are changing. It just seems to me that there are going to be a lot of weapons that ordinary people have, such as WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks wouldn't have been possible a decade ago, but now here it is. So there are weapons that both sides of this war are going to be developing in the next generation of humanity. I would not count out the side of truth, not for an instant. I think that we've got capabilities on our side as well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. You know, what I say is we've got massive freedom at one end and massive surveillance on the other. And
that's right.
That's the Internet.
Yeah.
And the surveillance society is, you know, obviously extremely worrying. And the surveillance is pervasive. And so what you have is this human organism that inhabits this entire planet, if you want to take everyone. And we are communicating on a variety of different levels with ourselves, okay? And we also exist simultaneously on a number of different levels, multiple realities. And I know that you sort of subscribe to that concept that we are more than just our physical bodies, and there is a lot more going on here than meets the eye.
I do. I agree with that, yes.
And then consensus reality will acknowledge. So with that in mind, what you have is this incredible playing field in which we're not the only ones that are changing and morphing and becoming more. Even in this reality, I have to say that the dark side is doing the same thing. And I, at least Project Camelot, our sort of fervent hope is always looking for defectors. And
right.
And I think that defectors are more prevalent now than ever before, even though they may not particularly feel safe enough to come forward.
Yeah, that's my assessment as well. I think that there are always, look, in any ruling elite, whether you go back 2,000 years or today, 2,000 years ago you had Caesar and Pompey. They didn't agree on things either. Even philosophically, there was Cicero, who was very much on the other side of the fence ideologically. No ruling elites agree. Never have, they never will. In our own society today, there are many insiders who are disaffected. And the problem is, if you are such a person, how do you get the word out to the rest of the world without endangering yourself and your family? And that is always the key. The good news for us is that, again, we're in a world that is changing so dramatically that it's becoming easier for these people in some way or another to get their message out anonymously through a variety of sites. Camelot is one obvious site that has been the case for a number of years now. WikiLeaks is another. And indeed, there are many other researchers out there who are in their own way getting inside information and trying to relay that. The big problem that we have, of course, is being able to confirm these types of sources, and that's not always easy to do. That's just the name of the game. All we can do is our best. But the fact is, I agree with you that this is increasing, not decreasing, that there are more and more defectors from that world, and I think we're going to continue to see that trend.
Along those lines, I'm curious, have you yourself, I mean, I know you're talking to insiders all the time, are there any tidbits of information that you've come across lately that you find particularly exciting or that are new ways of looking at this whole game that have sort of turned your head?
Yes. The answer to that is a definite yes. And I have a different mandate than Camelot does. Doesn't mean that I can't reveal everything I know, but I've always tried to be very cautious about publicizing things that I know. But I will say this: I have had sources that have given me reason to believe that there is a wild, wild underbelly to this world that we live in, insofar as very likely the existence of multiple types of non-human groups interacting with us right now. The fact that the human secret keepers, let's call them the majestic group, is scrambling to try to deal with that as best they can, and sometimes they succeed and sometimes they fail. That they are, you know, as many people suspect, not under formal government control in any way. They're private. They're run by private money internationally, but that are quasi-public because they have their hooks into governments as well. That also, that dimensions and time manipulation are a big part of this this reality that they inhabit. And that, I think they're scared. I think that, honestly, that the people who we would call the majestic group or the black ops group, I think some of them are running scared from what may be the reality that they're dealing with.
Okay, but let's back up just a tiny bit here, because you said something very intriguing, which is about time travel.
Yeah.
Manipulating time as being a big part of this scenario that we're involved in, and actually, I agree with you. Our evidence would point in that direction. Also, I don't know if you get the information about the segment of the Nazis that went down to Antarctica that are in that do inhabit a base down there that are involved in manipulating the timelines.
That didn't come from any of my sources specifically, although I'm quite familiar with the Robert Byrd saga, and I think that there's something to look at there.
Okay,
I'll leave it at that for now.
The source on that is not Robert Byrd for us.
Well, no, I mean, he's been dead for years.
Yeah, I know that, but right. I mean, in terms of this is more up-to-date information that we have.
Gotcha.
But the reason I'm bringing that up also is because what is said, I mean, you know, Sorka Fall is obviously also often the source of disinfo, but they are saying over there on that site that there is some of the UFOs are being shot down that are coming from Antarctica at this time, that the cables, WikiLeaks, are supposedly going to be releasing some information in that regard. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's one of the few times when you can actually check out Sorka Fall and find out if this person is going to be right on or...
Oh, that,
or
that's interesting, yeah. That's
so either the, you know, either the cables will be released and we'll have that information or they won't. So,
right.
Yeah, it's just, it happens to be running around the internet lately, and it is an interesting aspect because you did mention time travel. So for yourself,
let me not say time travel so much as time manipulation. And it's not clear to me based on what was communicated to me, let's just put it this way, that time travel has been mastered necessarily by the black ops world that deals with this, but that I will say it does seem to me that time manipulation is somehow important to all of this, and whether that means they can travel through time or just see, you know, whether it's just remote viewing, for example, through time, that might be an equally important part of what they're trying to learn how to do. But yes, it has been made clear to me that time is very important, and that dimensions are important. Dimensions of reality are important. And this is a very big concern of the black ops world, is trying to master that to the maximum extent possible, so that they can, let's say, deal with these other entities on something more like equal terms. That's
okay,
the impression that I'm getting.
But let me say that you also are, I think it's fair to say, good friends with Laura Knight Jedzik. Isn't that correct?
Well, I think I'm on the outs with that whole group now, so it's hard for me to say.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But,
well, let's hope, you know, look, there's a lot of very good people there. And the fact is, I gave, in my newest book, AD, and I gave a lecture on this, a couple of folks in associated with Signs of the Times, which is her website, were there. And I think I came under some criticism because I did not refer in any explicit way to the so-called fourth density reptilian entities that, of course, Laura and a number of people in that group refer to. It doesn't mean that I don't believe that that's a definite possibility, but I have always been on the fence as to if that's exactly how it pans out or not. I'm interested. And so I think for that reason I was seen as I took a lot of hits on one of their blogs. I was seen as not really quite right there, that I was sort of straying off the path.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, at any rate, the reason I brought that up is simply because she's dealing a lot with the notion of time manipulation, and certainly is aware of it. And I guess you know that I interviewed her. I don't know if you ever saw that interview, but I spent some time at her villa,
right?
And with a friend, and she's a fascinating individual.
Absolutely agree. She's a brilliant lady.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And some of her ideas, I think, are yet to be proven true, but I think that they will be. Certain things, such as the meteors that will probably, the showers that will ultimately be coming our way, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is something that she says of value. But to get back to the whole idea of what you're hearing from secret sources, is there anything else that you would want to share here? And let me say here that we're going to go to break at the end of the half hour, and then we'll have one half hour left, and we will take questions from the audience. So I encourage anyone listening to call in.
There are other things. Yeah, I have to be careful, Carrie, about how far into this I go, because look, I'm not really. Even what I've just said, I don't have that confirmed. And one of the great problems that I have with some of the alternative fields that we inhabit is that talk is so cheap, and it's so easy for people just to repeat something that they heard somewhere else, and then the next thing you know, it becomes passed around as fact, when in fact it isn't anything of the sort. And yes, I have received, a clandestine communication, several to this effect. Yeah, there are other things that I've been told, and I don't know if they're true or not. But let me just say that, like Bilderberg group meetings, I think these are important. There are different entities that interact with humanity in various ways, and I think that this is going to be a big part. You know, eventually we're going to learn this in a post-disclosure world, that humanity is of great interest right now to many, many intelligences that have the ability to observe us. I think that we're quite interesting to them, and especially right now at this point in our history.
Yes, no doubt about it. What about the ships that are close to the sun? Are you hearing about that? Are you seeing the videos on
the videos I've seen are they're fascinating to me. I have not had any inside sources talking to me about any of that at all.
You don't have any information, really, timely information about
I do not. No, I don't. Okay. I've seen the videos like a lot of people have, and I must say I'm very intrigued by these.
Absolutely. Well, the fact that there are crafts and that some of them are, they say, even the size of planets is really huge. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay, well, as far as your last book and your view of history and how you've written it, do you feel that there's any particular area in which you sort of got involved in investigating and had one point of view and then you completely switched your point of view in the process?
That's a great question. There are a couple of areas where I really developed new ideas based, you know, just where I may not have had a strong opinion one way or the other before that. Yeah, one of the things where I actually kind of evolved a different point of view would be toward the in one of the final chapters of AD, which deals with politics.
Okay, I'd love to hear about that when we get back from the break. This is Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio.
What makes AMSOIL motorcycle oils so good? Customers say they can actually feel the heat reduction. Shifting becomes smooth and clutches last longer. Throttle response improves while more power goes to the wheels. AMSOIL advanced motorcycle oils last twice the manufacturer's interval and are guaranteed. When you order through AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 100% of the proceeds go to the network. Try this. Click on the AMSOIL link, look up the motorcycle oils, then download the motorcycle oil white paper to see how the competition compares. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants and filters are the most advanced products on the market today. American Freedom Radio wants you to experience how AMSOIL saves you money on fuel, saves you time on maintenance, and extends the life of your bike. But performance is what keeps customers coming back. Dare to compare. Enter AMSOIL's site by clicking the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are talking to Rich Dolan, the author of UFOs in the National Security State, Volumes 1 and 2. And, Rich, what I'd like to do here on the last half hour is go to questions, but I want to resume where we were right before we went to the break there, because you were answering my last question. I'd like to hear that.
Well, right. What I've, in doing AD after disclosure with the intrepid Bryce Zabel, I came to some, I guess, some surprising conclusions about what I think we really need to do. And one is in terms of the politics of a post-disclosure world. I mean, you know, one of the things we all talk about globalization and kind of global government and generally in a deeply critical way, which we should be, because the way this is turning out is certainly not a good thing. But what I really discovered, at least in writing this, is that, I mean, a globalization is not something that, like, you know, may or may not happen. It's happening. And the only question is, how is it going to look when it's done? For the last 500 years, the human species has been coming inextricably closer and closer, more intertwined with itself into a global system. It's unavoidable when you look at our technology to think that we can just move into a world of back to Thomas Jefferson's times, where we're all independent farmers, sovereign in our own little private Idaho. That just can't be the case. That's not the world, and it can't be our world. And so the question is, how do we move in a post-disclosure world, or not, in our future, to a situation where we have freedom, but also a kind of an ability to manage these international, transnational corporations, which individually, most of them are larger than most nations. And so, in other words, what we lack in our world today, as I see it, is a political counterweight to the power exercised by the major global corporations, which essentially run around like the dog that pees on everyone's tree, and there's nothing to control them. So one of the insights that I came to, this is just my own judgment here, in writing AD, is that when there is going to be a forced announcement on the reality of another intelligence here, and it's going to involve so many debates and arguments, because we may not get to the point where we know who these other beings are. We may only be able to determine that they're here, and there's going to be a whole bunch of arguments as to are they wearing white hats or black hats or what they are. But one thing we'll have to do, two things we're going to have to do, is one, decide as a globe, as a species, how we're going to deal with this challenge, and that's going to have to be on a global basis, not a national basis. And then the other thing that we're going to probably do is need to come to a way of deciding how we will transition away from a fossil fuel-based energy paradigm to something, well, whatever these other objects are using to get around, it's not petroleum. And so very soon after disclosure, we're going to figure that out, whether it's controlled nuclear fusion or zero-point energy or something more exotic. Whatever it is, I guarantee you, Carrie, we're going to learn it fast. And to make that transition in an uncontrolled way is not going to be a good thing for us. We're going to need to be coordinated about it. So what I'm saying is disclosure is going to accelerate the need for humanity to act in a coordinated way. And that means global governance. That does not have to mean fascism. This is the key thing. The globalization we're moving toward today is one in which you've got a select number of corporations and wealthy elite who own everything. And that may be inevitable, but I'm not throwing in this towel. In our own nation's history, in the United States, we have an example of a fight against this. And really go back one century to the presidency of Theodore Roosevelt. Everyone's forgotten Teddy Roosevelt. But one thing that happened with him is he was the first U.S. president to try in some way to take on the power of major corporate power in America. From the assassination of Abraham Lincoln 35 years earlier to the presidency of Roosevelt, in between that, the U.S. president was nothing more than the tool of major business, as was U.S. Congress. And it was in the 20th century that there were attempts made to create a political structure that would regulate and to some extent control these major corporations that were basically running around completely out of control. Now, that attempt did not end up in success in any major way, but there were successes. And what I'm saying is that on a global scale, we are at the same point today, where we've got international corporations that there is not a nation on earth that has the ability individually to manage the power of these transnational corporations. But globally, there is a potential that we can organize to manage this process so that there is some responsiveness to the people of this world. And I think we need to move toward that. It's necessary. It's logical. And I do believe this is a surprise to me in writing AD. I wasn't expecting this conclusion going in. I'm very deeply sympathetic to policies and principles of many of the libertarians that are very vocal today, including Ron Paul and many others. But I also feel that what is necessary is that at the highest level of our political power structure, there has got to be the recognition that power must be responsive and must be an advocate for the needs of the people against that of corporate centralized economic financial power. Whether that can happen or not is another issue. But it does seem to me that if we're going to move into a world that's actually going to be just and to have some freedom, you know, freedom that is sufficient for the masses of humanity, that that's something that we need to have. And I think that disclosure will accelerate that need.
That's very interesting that you're coming from that point of view. I think that very few people really consider that at this time.
So right, they do. That's why I was surprised when I came to that conclusion.
So many people are obsessed with the notion of the destruction of the current paradigm and going back to the land and these small communities. And actually, I do think that there will be a continued move in that direction. But what I always ponder is the idea that if you're going to lose the sense of a global consciousness that we have just gained, really, through the Internet,
right,
that we would be losing something that would be, to me, of greater value, as a media person, a person who wants to communicate globally to all kinds of people.
I agree with you. It's also a fantasy to think that it can happen. It's an absolute fantasy to think that we're somehow going to go back to this agrarian pre-industrial society.
Well, the only thing that would promote that, in essence, would be, global climate change and or, you know, catastrophic.
Well, collapse,
occurrences, things that some of our whistleblowers are saying could be in the cards, although some of it appears to have been mitigated.
Well, one thing I tried to do in AD, it was a really important element of my book, actually, is that I wanted to try to find a way to see where there might be light at the end of this tunnel and to see how a better world really might come about, not through collapse, because I don't want to see collapse of the global infrastructure. I see it as clearly as anyone else that it's a possibility, but hell, I don't want it. I think that with intelligent and wise and publicly spirited decisions that it can be avoided. And one of the goals in writing this book is if I were to sit with a president or some other powerful member of the elite, even, you know, David Rockefeller or his cronies or his associates, that I would want to say there's a better way here. There's a way that doesn't involve the enslavement of humanity. There's a way that can be better for all of us. I would like to see it happen.
Well, that's a great sentiment. The only thing is, I think that we have a lot of obstacles, in the way of all that.
Certainly. Well, I'm an idealist. I'm not a utopian. So I will freely admit that what I think is an ideal, and I wanted to put that out as an example, I'm certainly not foolish enough to think that this is likely, although I think it's possible. So I think that a positive outcome is possible. And what I'm trying to do is, in my own small way, is simply to show how I think it might be possible. That's it, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think that's very valid. And I assume that you and your co-writer kind of worked on that together to some degree. I don't know how you wrote the book.
We wrote this book almost exactly 50-50. I think really we're both in throughout. There were certain elements of the book that were more my little baby and certain elements that were Bryce's. And then once we would write a certain section, the other person inevitably would be able to contribute and have something to say about it. And so in the section that I was just discussing with you, the future exopolitics, that part that I discussed with you is really mostly my own thoughts, although I know Bryce, I'm sure, agrees with that. He wrote a lot of that chapter as well, but I think what I'm describing to you are my own particular thoughts.
Okay, let me ask you, Rich, whether or not you have been sort of pressured over the last year or two. I wonder if you feel more or less pressured by the sort of national security state apparatus. Has that interfered in your life in any marked way?
That's a great question, and it's hard for me to answer definitively. I've had total confirmation that I've been monitored. I know this. Now, whether that's been in a negative way, I don't know for sure. I will tell you this. In the month before I completed Volume 2 of UFOs in the National Security State, that was in the summer of 2009, both of my computers crashed one day apart from each other.
Okay.
Now, and they both died in almost exactly the same way. So my notebook and my PC both went kablamo. Thank goodness for me, I had my book backed up on multiple external drives and flash drives, so I didn't lose anything. Had I not done that, I would have lost 5 years of my life right there.
Wow.
Now, was that an attack? Look, I don't think that was a coincidence, but I can't prove that it was an attack. So that could have been a really devastating blow to me. Fortunately, it wasn't. I've certainly had incidents where in my life that I've felt I've been watched, but I must say no one has ever threatened me. I've never received an overt or even veiled threat to me or anyone close to me. So on that level, I would say no. There was a period in the early Bush years where I was regularly stopped at airports. I was always allowed to fly, but I was stopped. My name was flagged, and I would have to wait 15 minutes usually until someone cleared my name and I would be allowed to fly. That was a real annoyance, but that never stopped me from flying. I think that was after I came out on 9/11, actually. I think that's what got me into trouble, more than the UFO stuff.
Okay, and along those lines, just curious, I mean, I have so many questions I could go on all night here.
We could.
and because it's been a while, I just could just never stop asking these questions. But and I appreciate your patience with answering each and every one of them, which you are doing. What I'd like to know is, are you aware of Dmitry Kalevzov, the 9/11 researcher, and his work, and also the recent, well, I have a recent release of a document, an interview by Daniel Estulin that was with Dmitry Kalevzov regarding this individual called Victor Boot.
I'm very familiar with the work of Daniel Estulin, who I'm a very big fan of him. I've got his book on the Bilderbergs. I've seen many of his videos on YouTube. Dmitry Kalevzov, I'm not familiar with him. And let me just say this. Regarding 9/11, I would not consider myself any longer to be fully up to date on all of the debates that are going on with that. I'm satisfied to myself that this was, to put it bluntly, an inside job of one sort or another. I'm convinced that the truth officially has not been revealed.
We'll be right back after this speech.
Darkness, 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 dar natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Freedom Files. Weekday, Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio.
Been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come.
Okay, this is Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are on the air with Rich Dolan. We have just 10 minutes left in the show. It's amazing. It's gone by so quickly. Rich, are you there?
I am indeed, Carrie.
Okay, well, you know, I have a bunch of questions, and I noticed that we don't seem to have any callers, if I have this correct. I don't know if I'm sort of blowing it in terms of, I think I was maybe supposed to give out the phone number, but I think it's on the website, American Freedom Radio. I do two radio shows. One is in Europe and has no commercials, and I kind of can get away with murder on that particular radio show. I can do whatever I want. So I have sort of this laissez-faire attitude. But hopefully people will find the number and call in if they would like to ask you anything. I have to say I have a couple last-minute things to ask you. And
sure.
Then there is somebody asking if you're aware of the Light Workers Organization, the Galactic Federation of Light, and what do you think of them? That's a person in the chat on Justin TV asking this?
I am familiar with it. I have a number of friends, I guess, who are actively involved in that. And I guess what I would say is that these are good people doing good work. So, look, you know, the thing about putting out positive energy is that I believe in that. I believe that we are energetic beings. And I believe that what we create in ourselves has an effect on the world beyond us. The only caution that I offer with that perspective is that I've never been of the opinion that what we do will absolutely manifest what we want every single time, and that therefore, and that there's also no reason. There's a tendency among some of this group, not this group specifically, but among people who call themselves light workers, to kind of ignore some of the darker elements of the world around us, maybe with the idea that they don't want that in their consciousness. And so, you know,
I think what you would, what you and I would both agree is that that might be a fairly irresponsible approach to evil.
Right. You can't ignore it by pretending it's not there, and you can't. It doesn't go away simply because you don't allow it into your consciousness. The fear that there are certain people have, I think, is that by dwelling on it, you somehow strengthen it. And I don't believe that. I think that by knowing your enemy, you have to spend time understanding it, and that means putting energy into understanding what the dark side actually is. We have to do that if we're going to fight it.
Absolutely. Well, and I consider you a definite comrade in that work, and a very worthy one as
thank
well.
You,
and
you.
I have a website that I started called Project Light Warriors, and I'm much more of that opinion, just for the people who are interested in knowing that. Richard Sauder is a good friend of yours, I believe. You published, I think, one of his books. Is that right?
I did. I published, I think, his latest and what I think is his greatest book on the phenomenon of clandestine underground bases and tunnels, and that's called Hidden in Plain Sight. Richard asked me about a year ago, a little over a year ago, if I would publish his forthcoming book, and I decided that I would do it. I'm trying to expand slowly as a publisher, not just of my books, but of other people as well, and on a limited basis. And his was a very good choice. It's an excellent book. He did a lot of, I think what he did is, short of breaking in with a camcorder to one of these facilities, he did about the best job you could do by demonstrating that they exist. In other words, by looking at proven documentation showing explicit plans to go way deep under the ground and under the seabed for permanent manned installations. Secondly, he deals with the technologies that do exist to make this happen. And thirdly, he deals with the leaks that have come to him over the years, sort of fleshing this out. And I think the result is a very compelling picture of what may be a labyrinthian world beneath our feet.
Absolutely. Well, I have been an admirer of Richard Sauder's, although he was a good friend of ours, and then he began to do some bad-mouthing of Project Camelot, unfortunately, even on rents, which was really absurd, accusing us of all kinds of nefarious dealings when he knew me from years ago, so I don't know what he thought I was doing back then.
Well. A lot of good researchers are have their own personality issues. I don't want to say one thing or another about Richard. I've always considered him a friend, but just because someone is a great researcher doesn't mean that they're always going to be amenable in terms of personality issues. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm bringing him up is he did do this sort of amazing, bizarre incident in which he was actually thrown in jail for trespassing or this facility. Can you?
Yeah, I can tell you all about that. I know everything about that.
We only have 5 minutes, but if you could try to sum
quickly,
it up.
Yes, I will. Last April, on Income Tax Day, April 15th, Richard scaled the fence at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota. Intentionally, he dressed in very specific types of clothing with a copy of the U.S. Constitution, which he placed on top of a nuclear missile silo, and then waited for about 15 minutes or more for Air Force Security Police to arrest him, which they then did. He did this as an explicit form of protest against what he feels is the illegality of the U.S. military complex, which is, has done a lot of bad things in this world, and he spent some time in jail for that.
So he was a conscientious objector in that
absolutely,
case.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, kudos to him for that.
Yep.
And Rich Dolan, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm afraid we're out of time, and this is the end of the show. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio. We've been talking to Rich Dolan, and keyholepublishing.com is the website. Rich, take care of yourself, and let's do this again.
Sorry, I'd love to. Thank you.
Thanks.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Delete the old output.
Roger, control is good.
5, roger, copy.
3,
2,
1. Okay.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.